Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkandawira, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Lovely. Great to have you here. I hope that you are doing well that side.
I am. Lord is with us. We are blessed.
Lovely. Now, you know, and by the way, I must welcome to those who are listening to the show. We're speaking to Pastor Mkandawira. He's been talking to us the last 2 days. Today's is here today on the third day. And we are actually having these conversations with him. And so do make sure that you be part of these conversations. And if you want to call us and make any comment or contribution or questions even, please do so at +27 734 703 520. Now, the argument almost makes sense on the surface. After all, everything changes, doesn't it? Societal values shift across distance and time. What was acceptable as dress in the 14th century would likely be frowned upon on the 21st century. So it only makes sense that right and wrong, like all societal things, would change as cultures does. So can we then rely in a book written thousands and thousands of years ago to guide us today? That's what we want to answer today. So, Pastor, is the Bible still relevant in the postmodern society? I mean, I don't even want to call it the 21st century because it's literally a postmodern society. Is the Bible still a relevant guide?
Very much so. It is, yes. It was meant to be God's communication to the children of Israel, and through them, all those who were grafted into the salvation of Jesus Christ. But to us, it is more important now than it was for them back in their times, when they had prophets and priests and all those who communicated with God on a daily basis. We don't have that communication with God on a daily basis. And so our only means of communication with him is through his word and prayer. Thus, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples and were written to our admonition, upon whose end the ages have come. It is important more so now for us than it was for them.
Yeah.
Listen to the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The ones who need to know of things to come are not those to whom the Bible was written in their day. It is those of us who live at the time of the end of the world. And so, yes, we need the Bible more so now than they did, those to whom it was written.
And you're saying that it is still relevant. Because I want to make an example. When they talked about returning the tithe, they were talking about vegetables plantation. I mean, there's a scripture in the Bible: when you harvest, make sure that you leave some in the fringes for the poor. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this day and age many people live that kind of life. And you know, when you count your cows and sheep and oxen, the tenth one belongs to the Lord, etc., etc. We don't have those by and large, only those involved in farming, which are actually a fraction of today's society. Whereas back in that society, they were the majority because everybody had to self-sustain through farming and making sure that they have livestock, etc., etc. Is it really relevant still, honestly?
So the idea of returning pets and leaving some for the poor, the strangers, and those who were fatherless is a principle God intended his children to live on. That same principle still applies to this. So the idea is, from your income, you return a tithe. and you sustain those who are less privileged. Even if we are not farmers today, simply because we also have an income by which we live, we can still return from our incomes and still be able to sustain the less privileged from our own income. So the principle remains the same. Thus, the relevance of scripture is still applicable to this day.
Now, some may argue, Pastor, thank you for that response. Some may argue that much of the Bible may not necessarily apply to us today, as it was written to specific people at a specific time. For example, Paul's letters that we find in the New Testament, I mean, he writes the letter to the Galatians, for instance. He writes the letter to those who lived in Corinth. For instance, he writes a letter to those who live. I mean, he writes a letter to Timothy. You know, for instance. So they argue that these were to specific people at a specific time. Why are we now inserting ourselves in the whole equation?
Oh, that's a so the argument to the extent of proper interpretation of scripture. As far as the argument of the specificity is concerned, the argument is sound, because we cannot take what Paul did not mean for the Corinthians mean to us today. So as far as specific interpretation of scripture is concerned, that argument would hold water. However, when we use the example of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for example, since we're talking about writing Paul, when Paul speaks to the Corinthians about, specifically about how they conducted the Lord's Supper, the problem was that of the Corinthians. That problem may not apply elsewhere. And so, because it applied to the Corinthians, it may not be applicable to us, because we are not, we don't have a similar problem as the Corinthians did. However, if we are to get the principle of how to conduct Holy Communion, what Paul said to the Corinthians would still teach us a thing or two as far as principle is concerned. And so, as far as the application goes, the argument doesn't hold merit. Because, like, for example, 1 Corinthians 10, 11 puts it, these things were written for us, for our admonition. As example, the Corinthians would have been examples in this case. And we are being admonished not to repeat the mistakes of the Corinthians in other ways. And so as far as application goes, the argument doesn't hold. But as far as specific interpretation of scripture is concerned, yes, the argument can be used. So, yes, halfway, because we want to interpret scripture correctly. So, yes, we can use the argument. But as far as application is concerned, no, application can be different because we are applying principle.
It goes without saying, therefore, that we perhaps may set discard and just take out of the scripture certain things that do not apply because they don't apply. These, for instance, the example that you made, and some examples here, I mean, Paul somewhere writes to this other church, and he says that women must shut up in the church and not say anything. And we do know that this cannot apply today. So what I'm saying is that we can then, it should follow naturally that certain scriptures really can actually be taken out because they are quite obsolete. Eh?
So as far as taking out parts of scripture, the Bible warns us not to remove, not to add, because from those who remove from scripture, scripture tells us that God will remove from them their reward. Those who add, Bible tells us God will add to them punishment. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so, when the Bible says every word, then we're talking about every word in the Bible, every part of scripture. And so It must be that we come to the scriptures and apply them where the circumstances warrant that application. There are portions that do not warrant application in a certain context. Mm. So we must always be wary that we do not take the scriptures out of context. Mm. So when we are taking them in context, scripture says we are believed by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Now, how do we adapt a age-old principle to make them applicable in our present day? I mean, you spoke about application, and how do we then take those principles, which were relevant those days, perhaps maybe could be relevant today, but how do we make them applicable in our day? Please share some biblical principles that we can use in our relationships, our work, our decision-making, etc.
So, let's use a few scriptures. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, just shall live by faith. If we are to live by faith as the just, then it goes without saying that we are living in the presence of God, being guided by the Holy Spirit. And so if the Holy Spirit is living among people, among us, then we are to allow him to speak with us, to guide us, so that as we hear his voice, we live by faith. And then scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so if we are to do this on a daily basis, then we must hear the word of God daily, and live according to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, according to what scripture tells us. It is Isaiah who said, if they speak to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, not according to the law of God, then it is because there is no light in them. That is why Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit shall come, he will not speak on his own authority. He will base everything he says on what he hears, what God has revealed in scripture, and what God intends to instruct us in our daily lives as we walk in light of the words of scripture. And so we are to live by faith, and we must apply the words of God in our daily lives as we hear them daily, as we receive faith from God on a daily basis.
Very nice. Now, are there any practices or lessons in the Bible that are in fact specific to the people that were given to? I mean, some part of the Bible we must just read and keep moving.
I used to think that device, such things, like, for example, the genealogies in the book of Genesis, they did not make sense to me. Like, why would God put these in scripture? What are they for? And then I read Romans that actually they are very important, because for the Hebrews, for the Israelites, authority was extremely important. You don't say anything to an Israelite, they will ask you, with what authority are you speaking? Like they did to John when he came baptizing, like they did to Jesus at some point. And so for them to actually realize this person comes with this authority, those genealogies were extremely important, because it is through them that they trace the birth of the Messiah and who the Messiah would be. And so now they make sense to me. So answering your question based on the genealogies which I once thought were useless, now I have come to realize how useful they are. I would say that no, when we come to a point in scripture where we read and we feel, no, this does not apply to us. It was for the children of Israel back in the day. It was for this group of people and that group of people. Maybe we should look at them again and then realize, read in context, what is this part of scripture doing here? Why has God put this part of scripture in the Bible. So I would say there is no part of scripture that is useless. Not now, not ever. Because the Bible says that every word of God will not return to him void. It will accomplish what it was sent for. I don't think God would waste his time writing words that would be useless in the future to a certain generation. So no, I would say no, because of my own experience with marriages.
Well, Pastor, I must leave it right there. And we're going to be talking again to you tomorrow at the same time and same place. Have a fantastic afternoon. And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for hosting me.
Lovely. Thank you. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.